The Lord be with you.
And
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it, except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the Queen of the South will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And there's something greater than Solomon here. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because at the preaching of Jonah, they repented, and there's something greater than Jonah here." The Gospel of the Lord. Today the church begins to read the most developed theological treatise of St. Paul, and it's his letter to the Romans. A good part of this he wrote when he was in prison in Rome. Just two ideas from this. According to the spirit of holiness, we as Catholics are called to be holy. Lumen Gentium chapter 5, one of the most important documents of the Vatican, two documents, the title is The Universal Call to Holiness. We should beg for real hunger for holiness every day. One of the Beatitudes is, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice or holiness. They will be filled." So that should be one of our prayers today. And of course, one of the ways in which we can do that is not only to beg for it, but to read the lives of those who are holy. And those are the saints. So reading the lives of the saints, they're a strong impetus for us to walk in their footsteps. So let's ask the Lord to give us this hunger and thirst for holiness. And St. Paul says, "Grace to you." We should pray every day that we never lose God's grace, but that we grow in grace all the days of our lives. And the grace of all graces is to die in the state of grace. I repeat, the grace of all graces is to die in the state of grace. Because if we die in the state of grace, we're saved. Maybe we have to go to purgatory. You know, even if we had to go to the purgatory until the end of time, we're still saved. So that should be another prayer. Not only should we have a hunger and thirst for holiness, but to preserve the state of grace. And here's a very important question for all of us. What is the greatest danger for you to lose God's grace? We're all tempted in different ways. I think if you pray over that, the Holy Spirit's going to point out to you, this is your kryptonite, this is your weak point. And then you should beg, "Lord, help me when I find myself in that very vulnerable situation, when I'm very weak and I've fallen maybe in the past, help me to run to the full of grace." Amen? you won't fall. You won't fall. Okay, the responsorial psalm, the Lord has made known his salvation. Okay, how was his salvation made known? Okay, in the incarnation. The incarnation was when Jesus became man. And the name Jesus, Yeshua in the Hebrew, means God saves. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says, by saying the name Jesus with faith and love, you're already praying. And here's a prayer that we should all say often. And it's this, Lord, save me. You ever feel kind of like Peter? You're sinking in the waves and the storm seems to be descending upon your ship. Hello? We've all had those days where it seems as if we're about to capsize. Our boat is tottering. Our boat is being filled with water. The storms are more intense. You just sit there and cross your arms and see what's going to happen. Lord, save me, like the apostles. That's a great prayer. Very good prayer. I mean, I pray that prayer very often. The Lord never fails us. The gospel. Probably a lot of you think, well, that doesn't apply to me. It certainly does. Nineveh, that was even before Jesus. That Jonah guy, he's a big complainer, huh? I've never complained in my life. Jonah, the patron of complainitis, huh? Okay, what is the essential message? Conversion. Now, there's a radical conversion, but there is what is called a daily conversion. And all of us have to work on a daily conversion until we die. St. Francis de Sales says, selfishness dies 15 minutes after we're dead. In English lit, that's called a hyperbolic expression, or hyperbole. But we understand it. Until we die, we've got to struggle. We've got to struggle with our demons. We have to struggle with our flesh. We have to struggle with a world that tries to seduce us. Conversion is an ongoing process. No, Father, I go to St. Peter Chanel at 8 o'clock Mass in the morning, and I even pray my rosary. Haven't made it yet. We're still on the way. And today we celebrate two saints, St. Hedwig. There's a church in Los Alamitos, right, St. Hedwig? Then there's another saint, her name is St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. You've probably heard of her. We actually have a depiction of her below the altar. You really want to get to know her life. The best book ever written on St. Margaret Mary Alacoque is written by Margaret Trouncer, and the title of the book is The Nun. Remember, Father Greg Staub loved that book. I'd always be praising it, no? So the nun, Margaret Trouncer. Margaret Trouncer. There's so much to be said about St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, but maybe two or three ideas. You read through her life was a life of constant suffering and crosses. Barely ever find a saint who suffered more than this saint. I mean, they all suffer. Her life was a life of constant suffering. Father died when she was young. She, her mother, and there were five of them all together, had to live with one of their relatives. Their relatives treated her like trash. Like trash. Then she got very, very sick, and she called out to the Blessed Mother, and she said to Mary, if you heal me, I will promote devotion to you. So Mary healed her. And then she felt called, even when young, to offer her virginity to God when she was a little child. And she had a great, and this is another grace we should pray for, a great horror for sin. Very nation, huh? A horror for sin, even the slightest sin. We should pray for that. Yesterday, he was talking with some of the priests, and Father Larry was talking with one of our parishioners who had, he was married about 2 years ago, and his mother works in the office, and he lives in Anaheim Hills, where the fire was. And he said that once he was aware of the fire, he ran to the school to take his little nephew out of the school and ran to his house to take his one-year-old son out very quickly. Father Larry said he used this in his homily yesterday. How quickly do we run to help our relatives and friends from heading toward the fires of hell? We're kind of slow with that. But if there's a fire in Anaheim Hills, zoom. Yeah, but they're living in mortal sin. It doesn't really matter. I really like that application of Father Larry. I really like that very much. Our Lady Fatima, right? So we should be more concerned about the salvation of our soul than our body. Our body's going to die. Our soul could go to hell for all eternity. So Saint Margaret Mary enters into the convent, and there in the convent she is constantly humiliated by the other nuns. They see her as a klutz, you know, clumsy, backward, not very intelligent. But God is going to use her to become one of the most important instruments in the history of the world, we would say the greatest maybe, to spread devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. God chose what the world considered nothing. That's the way God works. Like a Saint Bernadette, like these two little shepherd children, like a little Juan Dieguito. No? God will choose those who the world sees as basically nothing. It raises them to the heights. So Jesus started to appear to her. This is the 1600s. And you see there in the altar, the famous apparition in Paray-le-Monial, that was my French, no? Where he appears to her. And this is the most famous apparition. He appears to her with his heart outside his body. Now, divine mercy, the heart is within the body. Very interesting. The heart is in the body, but the rays are emanating from the body, which come from the pierced heart. Whereas this one, the heart is outside the body. And the heart, there are two very characteristic notes of the apparition. One is that fire is emanating from the heart. And second is the heart is surrounded by thorns. Now these are the words that Jesus said to Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque. Behold the heart that has loved so much and has received only coldness or indifference in return. Behold the heart that has loved so much, received only indifference. What's the opposite of love? I know you're going to say hate. I would disagree with you. You said hate. I could hear your mind. Okay? I would say indifference. If I were to go to your house for dinner and you argued with me, okay, well, I'm up for a theological debate now and then. You disagreed with me. Or I went to your house and you just put me in the garage with your parakeet, with Pete your parakeet. And I was there for 2 hours waiting for you to prepare a meal I hadn't eaten the whole day. That would be more offensive than to be fighting with me. Because if you fight with me, at least you acknowledge my existence as a person. So hatred is bad, of course. But this indifference, this apathy, is what hurts the heart of Christ most. And that is the biggest, obviously, that is the biggest malady in the Catholic Church, is apathy and indifference. Much worse than back in the 17th century. Let me prove it to you. 75% of Catholics don't even go to Mass on Sunday. What's that? Apathy. Indifference. Apathy, indifference. That cuts the heart of Christ. The fact that he comes in his sacred heart every time the priest lifts up the host and he wants to enter into our hearts in Holy Communion. And people just shun him, or neglect him, or forget him. So, St. Faustina, many messages, but trust in divine mercy. St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, different. Here we have mercy, justice, reparation. That's the essential message, is reparation. So God is merciful and God is just. Reparation for our sins, for the sins of our family members, for the sins of the church, or for the sins of all humanity. Let's pray today in the Mass that we would never become mediocre, lukewarm, indifferent, apathetic Catholics. We can all sink into that appalling state or disposition of soul. We all can. You skip out in your holy hour, my friends, you're going to sink into that. You will. If you're negligent in your holy hour, we've been preaching this to you for 10 years, you're going to sink into a state of indifference and apathy. May God save us from that. So Jesus has fire that's coming from his heart. I've come to cast fire on earth, and not at peace until that fire be enkindled. Amen.